Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for letting us be here on this beautiful Sunday morning, Lord. I pray that even though Easter has passed, we would remember the sacrifice you made for us, Lord. We will remember the mercies that are renewed for us every morning, Lord. And I pray that we know that everything is fully known to you, as you say in Hebrews 4. I pray for all the people here today. I pray for Brother Cal as you speak through him and in him and through these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to thank our BCM Praise and Worship Band today. Y'all are welcome to come anytime you want to come. It's always a joy to watch our young folks serving the Lord. And we've got an amazing thing happening on our Austin Peay campus right now. And I would encourage you all to get to know these folks, talk to them a little bit. And as I'm looking around the crowd this morning, Pastor Larry Robertson said several years ago, he sent out a text to all the pastors, and he said, "Pastor, you're not near as good as the crowd on Sunday morning Easter." Sunday Easter morning. But he said, "You're not near as bad as the crowd the Sunday after Easter." All right? A lot of empty seats today, but didn't have many last week, but that's okay. The main one we want to see show up here this morning is the Holy Spirit. And he's welcome. We invite him here today. If you have a Bible this morning or have a copy of the Word of God, we're going back to Hebrews. Amen? Amen. Because Jesus is better. Amen. How many of you know that Jesus is just better? Amen. Anyone, anywhere, anything, anytime, any place, Jesus is better. So we're in Hebrews chapter 4. And when you find that that chapter, would you stand as we honor God's Word today? All right. "Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest," key word, "let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Now we're going to finish up through verse 11 as we preach through this passage today, but let's pray. Father, make it real to our hearts today. Open up your word and speak to each one of us here today about our relationship and our fellowship with you. And God, give us the courage to just say yes. Whatever it is, God, that you're calling us to do, whatever you want to say to us, we're open and ready and willing to obey. Thank you, Lord, for your holy, inerrant, inspired, and authoritative word. We need a word from heaven today. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I've entitled the sermon this morning, "Peace in the Valley." In 1956, Elvis Presley made his national television debut on the Ed Sullivan Show. And it was the first time that he'd been on national television. And so there was a lot of angst and anger, to be honest with you, over this wild, vulgar, hip-swinging young person. And he's on national TV for everybody and their dog to see. And speaking of dog, the very first song he sang was "You Ain't Nothing But A..." There you go, y'all got it. But to everyone's surprise, the second song that he sang was a gospel song, "Peace in the Valley." And that was his mama's favorite gospel song. And I don't know if Elvis ever found that peace that he was looking for, but that's what everyone longs for. Amen? Peace, real peace. And the writer of Hebrews picks up on that theme of peace here in chapter 4. And I just want to tell you up front this morning, if you'll be obedient and do the things that we're talking about here this morning, you'll not only have peace in the valley, you'll have peace your entire life. Woo! What a promise. That's a great promise, but the Word of God stands true today, and you can have peace throughout your entire life. Now, let me just make a couple of comments about these first three verses there. Hebrews 4 begins with an exhortation, let us not fear. Let us fear. And we're talking here about good, there's two kinds of fear, good fear and bad fear, right? And so that kind of sounds strange when he says, let us fear. How do I say this? We don't have to have a fear of being deathly afraid of God. There ought to be a certain holy anxiety, if you will, a certain sanctified reverence when you're thinking and talking about God and worshiping God. Amen? But what we should be concerned about is failing to experience all that God has for us to enter into. God has, I say this almost every Sunday, God has a great plan and purpose for every single person in this building. He does. But he's talking here now in chapter 4 about those Israelites who failed to experience all that God had for them in Canaan, in the promised land. And so just as the wilderness was to the Israelite, so is the world to the Christian. Stay with me here. God had something much better for the Israelites than wandering around in the Sinai desert. And I want to tell you, God has so much more for you than wandering around in the ways of this world. Has a tremendous purpose and plan. He wants you to have peace. And so sadly, as I look on at the church landscape, not just talking about Second Mile, there are a lot of believers who fail to enter into the victorious Christian life. You know, we said that Canaan land is not heaven. Canaan speaks of the daily victory that's available for the believer, okay? The victorious, abundant Christian life. Are y'all with me so far? Two of you. All right. Now, it's a serious thing. What he's talking about here, it's a very serious thing. Listen to your pastor. Listen to the preacher. It's a very serious thing not to mature and grow up in your faith. And sadly, our churches are filled with a bunch of baby Christians who have not grown and who have not matured in their faith. It is a serious thing to fall short of all that God has for you to enter into. So that's what all of this is about this morning. And I pray that it would speak to your heart. It certainly has spoken to mine. And so I believe it's true. I mean, if you're truly born again, if you're truly saved, I don't believe you can lose that salvation, but you can lose your reward. So God had already promised Canaan land to those Israelites. We've talked about that for weeks on end as we've been moving through Hebrews. And all they had to do was go in and possess it by faith. Claim it as theirs and possess it by faith. But you remember that when the 12 spies came back from Canaan, you remember there was two reports. There was the majority report and there was the minority report. And the majority, 10 of the spies said, you know what? This land is everything God said it was. Man, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land of abundance. I mean, it is everything and more. But there's giants in the land. The cities are fortified with these huge walls. And every city has these trained fighting men. And there's no way we can take it. By the way, just because the majority says it's so doesn't mean it's so. Hello? Well, the minority report was quite a bit different. Caleb and Joshua, the only two spies, said, yeah, it's true. The land is everything God said it was. It is flowing with milk and honey. It's a land of abundance. And yeah, there's giants in the land. But hey, you know what? That ain't nothing for our God to take care of. We can take it and we can possess the land that God has. We can claim it by faith. And as you read through the book of Joshua and you see how city after city fell in Canaan, they operated not on principles of warfare, but principles of faith. And that's where the victory comes for the believer, comes through faith. You're saved by grace through, and you live each day of your life by, and one of these days God's even going to call you to die by. It's all about faith. Amen. And so the ingredient that brings victory every day for us and gives us peace all throughout our life is this thing called faith. Faith appropriates what God has already provided. Oh, let me say that again. Faith is what needs to be appropriated for us to enjoy victory in our daily lives. If you want to enter into the fullness of salvation, we simply, and I think the last sermon I preached out of Hebrews before, you know, homecoming and Palm Sunday and Easter was trust and obey. For there's no other way to be but to. Some of y'all know the old hymns and the old songs. That's good. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. And now the key word here in chapter 4 is the word rest. And he's talking about peace, okay? The peace that passes all understanding. And so the writer of Hebrews embarks upon this theme of peace, and he uses the word rest to describe what God wants for each one of us. And how many of you know people need rest? I can tell by looking at some of y'all, y'all need to go home and rest. And the first rest that he's talking about here in verses 4 and 5 is a creation rest. A creation rest. You know, God wants his people, men and women, boys and girls, to have rest. And turn with me real quickly if you can, if you got your Bible with you. This is a great verse of Scripture. Look at Genesis 2 and verse 2. Y'all, this should be about the second page in your Bible, okay? Genesis 2 and 2. And on the seventh day, what day? God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. And so the writer of Hebrews here in verse 4 says this, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. And so what he's talking here is about a creation. You know, in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything that you see. But on the seventh day, God rested, and he sanctified that day. They call it the Sabbath. Now, the regular Sabbath is when? In the Old Testament, Sabbath was when? What day? Saturday. Right, Saturday. Now, and well, let me just read out of Exodus 20 to you while we're there, if that's okay. Exodus 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. What day? The seventh, Saturday, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, God has planned that his people might have a day of rest. Well, I'm calling this creation rest because God created the world in 6 days and then he rested on the seventh day. Now, that does not mean that God wasn't doing anything. God continued to work even on the seventh day, but he rested from his creative work. Are y'all with me? And so, because Jesus declared in John 5:17, he and his Father were continuing to work. All right? But because of sin, the Sabbath day, by the time we get to the book of Hebrews, the Sabbath day had become a mess. Instead of the Sabbath becoming a blessing, it had become a burden. You couldn't lift your finger or move a muscle on the Sabbath day, and if you did, you were in sin. The Sabbath was supposed to be a day of worship and a day of rest. And of course, the religious leaders went a step too far in this, what we call Sabbath keeping. Now, that's another sermon for another day, but let me just say this. When is our Sabbath? Sunday. Why? Yeah, that's the day Jesus got up from the grave and the early church started meeting for worship. When? On Sunday. Okay? Now, this is going to upset some of you. That'll upset me so bad I only have 2 Big Macs for lunch today. There needs to be a day during the week that you set aside to worship and rest. Now, most of us do that on Sunday, or you wouldn't be here, right? But it ought to be a day of worship and a day of rest. But you know, as I look around, man, Sunday's just like any other day. People are out shopping and out working. Now, I know some of you nurses and some of you professionals, some of y'all have to work on Sunday, and that's okay. God gets that. But he definitely wants us to rest. Pick a day where you can rest. And this is a work day for me. I mean, I'm busy all day long. And so I try to rest as best I can on Saturday. Especially now that I'm such an old man, if I don't rest on Saturday, I'm a mess on Sunday. All right? But there ought to be a day in the week when you cease from your labors, you're not working, and you rest, and you do something fun, and you do something with your family. Or maybe, now that doesn't mean you can't go make a visit over at the nursing home or something like that. You can go be a blessing to somebody else, but there ought to be a day of rest and a day of worship which you set aside. Sunday shouldn't be just another day. And so let me encourage every family here today, whether you're in college, whether you're in middle school, grade school, whether you're at work, whether you're middle-aged or old-aged, set aside Sunday if you can. If you can't do Sunday, do it some other day where you just spend your day worshiping God and resting in his grace. Isn't that a good word? And so now he begins talking about creation rest. And then he moves, the writer of Hebrews starts talking about something else that I call Canaan rest. Now watch this. Look at verse 6. I'm back in Hebrews chapter 4. Since, therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached didn't enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. And so the second type of rest or peace, which the writer is talking about here, is the day that Israel was supposed to head in to claim the promised land. They're on the edge of the promised land, at Kadesh Barnea. And you can read about that over in the Old Testament. But after they heard the majority report, they decided to exercise fear and failure instead of faith. And they said, we can't take it. There's no way that that country can be ours. And so because of that, they wandered around in the Sinai Desert in the wilderness for 40 years. Everybody 20 years and older died in the wilderness over the next 40 years. The wilderness was a graveyard of fear and failure. I think 2 million Israelites probably came out of Egypt. But not just a very few entered in from that crowd into the promised land because of a lack of faith. They all died. They didn't enter the rest in Canaan that God had planned for them to have. But now when Moses died, who stepped up? Joshua. And man, Joshua was one of those earth. Remember, he and Caleb were the only two that said, we can take it. It's ours. God promised it to us. It's ours. All we got to do is go in and claim it by faith. And man, you see all these victories that Joshua led the people to in the land of Canaan over and over and over again. As long as they exercised their faith and trusted the Lord and were obedient to God's word, they took those cities for God's glory. Canaan rest. Canaan rest. But they didn't quite possess all that God had given them. And I don't have time to get into all that, but if you look at maybe a map, you can see what God had deeded to them, but they didn't possess everything. And the writer of Hebrews brings up these Old Testament examples, really, of creation rest and Canaan rest in order to show these New Testament believers that he's writing to that God's people could now enjoy the promise of peace and rest in all its fullness. And I've come here today to tell y'all, we have a rest, a peace that the world can't take away from us. Man, if you're in Jesus, you've got everything you need. And in order to gather and gain the things that he wants you to have, you have to simply believe. I was talking to a couple this week. I was doing some premarital counseling. I won't tell you who they were, but I asked both of them about their salvation. And they both gave a pretty good salvation testimony. And so I asked the young man, I said, so if you died sitting here at the table, and I said, I hope you don't fall over at the table here, but if you were to die, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And I said, would you go to heaven? He said, I think so. I said, wrong answer. You don't have to think so, guess so, hope so, maybe so, won't so. You can know. You can have that peace. If you'll do what? If you'll just believe what the book said and do what it says. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. And you can have that peace. Now that doesn't mean there's not going to be. Billy talked about this last week. You can have doubts from time to time. And I think that's normal. But you can have that peace that you need about your salvation. Because you have entered in to everything that God has for you to enter into. You've done what he told you to do. Now you can't, well, I'm going to talk about that in just a moment, but you can't work your way to heaven. Trust and obey the word of God, for there's no other way. So, the second kind of rest and peace that he's talking about here, not just creation rest, but Canaan rest, entering in to what God wants you to have in all of its fullness. How many of you know God has a plan and purpose for your life? Well, you enter into that plan and that purpose by doing what he says to do. Hallelujah. And how do you know what God wants you to do? Not just Brother Cal told me to. No. This right here. The book. Okay? The Word of God. And then there's one final rest, and this is what I really want to cover today, is something I call Calvary rest. Verse 9, look at it. Well, let me back up and read verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another day, future day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. He's talking here about a future rest, a future peace, a future rest. Revelation 14, 13 says this, that they may rest from their labors. One of these days, we're moving towards a wonderful rest in a place called, and we will rest from our labor. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to do it. You know, a lot of folks have this idea about heaven that we're going to sit in some sanctified lounge chair drinking some kind of satisfying lemonade or something. That is not what heaven's all about. We're going to work. But it won't be laboring by the sweat of your brow anymore. You'll be able to do far more for Jesus in those days than you do right now, because you're going to be set free from all this stuff that sin has put and brought in our lives. And so there's a future day coming, a future rest, a future peace with God that you can't get unless you've got Jesus. How many of you are looking forward to heaven? Now, let me ask you, how many of you want to go to heaven? Well, if you want to go to heaven, you got to go to Jesus. Heaven's got to get in you. Well, that's another sermon. But then verse 10, watch this. This is what I call salvation rest. Not only this future rest, but this salvation. Look at verse 10. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Wow. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, we talked about this, you're trusting in, stay right here, everybody that's turning, stay right here. We have spiritual ADD up in here a lot of times. When you become a believer, you are trusting not in your works, but the finished work of Jesus on the cross. You have turned from your sin and you've turned to Jesus by faith as the only means of personal salvation. You're trusting in Him and Him alone. No other way to be saved. You got to trust in. It's all about Jesus, brothers and sisters. It's all about Him. And the minute that you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you entered into His rest. Whoo, glory to God. And I wanted to read, I can quote some of this, but I want to get it absolutely right. Listen to what Jesus says here in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me. Come unto me. That's what Jesus is saying. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you anxiety. I'll give you what? I'll give you what? That's a promise from the Word of God, isn't it? Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your... Are y'all in the Word? You'll find rest for your souls. There it is, salvation rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so our rest is in a person named Jesus. Now, there's one final thing and we'll close with this. Verse 11... Back in Hebrews 4 says this. Watch this now. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Verse 11 is referring to what I call our sanctifying rest, our sanctification rest, our growing in godliness rest, our maturing in the faith type of rest. And you know, if you're here and you're asking this question, why am I not experiencing what so-and-so's experiencing in her Christian life? If your life is just filled with misery and frustration and all kinds of anxiety and you're just, it's like you're eking out some type of Christian experience in the wilderness, you're living far below what God died, buried, and was raised again for you to have. And you can have that sanctification rest. You can have that maturity in Christ. You can continue to grow in your faith with Him. And how many of y'all have seen the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks? Well, a few of you get out and watch a little movie every now and then, all right. Well, Tom Hanks was working for FedEx. And he was taking a flight and caught a flight over the Pacific Ocean. And sadly, his aircraft went down. And he was the only one that lived through that plane crash. And somehow or other wound up being washed up on a deserted island. And it took a while for him to figure out how to live on a deserted island. But along about the three-fourths of the end, towards the end of the movie, he thought, you know what? I'm never going to get out of here. He'd been there 4 years. And he decided to build a raft and get out of there. And so he cut down some, I think, bamboo poles or something like that, some logs, and gathered some coconuts and began to lash all those logs and those poles together with some bamboo shoots and different vines and that kind of thing, and made this really cool-looking raft. And on the day that he decided to go, he jumped on that raft, and the raft got out, and finally he made it over these big, huge waves, and he had two paddles, and man, I thought, this cat's going somewhere. But after several days out, the raft has fallen apart because of storms. And he's laying there on three or four poles, you know. And he's exhausted. Hadn't had any food and water for days. And he's laying there, semi-conscious, on the raft. And all of a sudden, he hears this noise. And he leans over. And there's this massive ship coming right up beside him. And he's so weak, he can't holler. But the crew's on the side of the ship. They see him. And they send out a rescue team. And they rescue him. And the thought occurred to me, if that was me, what would that have been like? I mean, he abandoned every effort to save himself because he couldn't. And this ship provided salvation for him, saved his life. And can't you imagine him getting up there and standing, once he had some food and got his strength back, standing on that massive deck up there and hearing the roars of that ship and the engine moving forward? Can't you imagine the exhilaration of being saved? And then in my mind, I began to think, you know, what if the captain called him and wanted to talk to him? Well, he'd immediately go to the captain's bridge, you know, up to talk to the captain. And they talk for a few minutes. And he tells him about his experience on that deserted island and how the ship, how he built that raft and how the ship, he was almost dead, and yet the ship had saved him, and the crew had done whatever they needed to do to deliver him from death unto life. And the captain says, oh, that's wonderful. But he said, I'll tell you what, we're a little bit short-handed on the crew. I need some help in the dining room. Would you go down below the deck and help in the dining room? Oh, captain, I'd be glad to. I'd love to go help. Well, if he had said no, would they have thrown him overboard? No. But he would have missed out on helping. He was glad to help. And that's exactly what I've come here today to tell you. Man, if you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, if you've given your life to Christ, He's got so much in store for you. He wants to tell you great and mighty things that you don't know anything about. And it comes through service. It comes through obedience and becoming what He wants you to be. And you can have the rest that we're talking about here this morning. You can have peace. Peace in the valley. Peace on the mountain. And victory every day of your life. And then you're getting dressed up for glory, and we're going to have a future rest that is out of sight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Every day we get this side of heaven is just a real blessing from God. Every day we get, Father, is a gift. And I want to pray for my brothers and sisters that we'd make the most of this gift. I'd ask, Lord, that you would, I know you've already spoken to our hearts about things. And I believe there's people here today that are needing revival in their own life. And that comes through faith. And I pray that we would surrender and say yes. Let our yes be yes. And as this altar opens up and as the prayer room and the war room opens up, that people would just say yes and abandon any hopes of trying to save themselves and clean ourselves up and allow you to do what you need to do. And by all means, Father, if there's someone here today and does not know the Lord, oh, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Today, right now. I ask this in Jesus' sweet name and for his sake. Amen. Look right here at me. We're going to sing an invitational hymn, an invitational song, a song of response. And while they sing, I want you to stand in just a moment. And if you need any of the things that we're talking about, whether it be salvation or growing up in godliness or maturing in your faith or having your faith increase some kind of way, if you would just come, we'd love to share with you. Here at this altar, back in the prayer room, there'll be somebody back there. But you've got to take the first step of obedience. Remember, that's what we prayed for. So let's all stand, and we're going to sing, and you come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.